Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Since it's July, it's adventure time, and we're going to talk about the adventure of a lifetime today. I'm Doris, and this is
Winnie.
And this is Brandon.
And we're here in the studio today to talk to you about adventures. July is a good time for adventures.
That's right. Friends, if you have done any traveling so far, I hope you enjoyed it. But if not, there's plenty of time left to go somewhere different.
Think of something new that you can do this summer and go on an adventure, take an adventure, do something different.
When we go on an adventure, it could be a trip that we go on from our place, or we could go to another country, or it could be almost anything. But when you say the adventure of a lifetime, I usually think of people who are maybe older, like at least 40 or 50, and they've, you know, done a lot of things, but this is the most interesting one they've ever done. But in this case, it's not like that.
No, we're learning about two people who are going on an adventure, but they're actually quite young.
Okay. And so of their short lifetime, you might say.
That's right. That's right. But they think that this is a very special adventure, something very different for them.
So let's find out about it. And where are we going to find this article?
We are now on page 34, and today is July 23rd, and we're going to begin with the left column.
All right. And this story is from the San Jose Mercury News in California. And they talk about a couple of people who are traveling around the world, picking up work along the way. They're traveling and working. It's a working vacation. They're not working for a certain company, but they are working for whoever wants to hire them as they travel. That is an adventure in itself.
It sure is, and it sounds like, wow, that's very risky, right? But we will find out that there was some planning involved here, so it's not as much as a risk as you might think, but it's still an adventure. And they are. They're just traveling around, and they're able to work on their computers and do some different things as they travel around to different places.
And we mentioned that they are younger, like in their 20s, and that's a good time to do it before you have children, because when you have children, you need to stay home and take care of them, and you can't really do that. So, Winnie, don't you think now that you're free and younger, it's a good time to travel?
I think so. I think it would be a lot harder to travel when you have people depending on you. So
right.
It seems like if you're young and you are able to do this, you should give it a try.
Don't you think so, Brandon?
I think that's exactly right, Doris. You need to try new things before you're kind of tied down, as we say. When you have kids and a family, you have a lot of responsibilities there, and you don't have time to travel the world at that point in your life.
And if you have kids, they might need a little stability, and they need some regular things in their life because they're learning and they're growing. But when you are still young enough to do some of these things, you could do them before you get settled down, right?
That's right.
So let's read the article today. I think we're going to just take the first couple of paragraphs. It starts on page 34.
The adventure of a lifetime. Traveling around the world and picking up work along the way. Jason DeMont and Sharon Duckworth are Great Recession refugees, and they couldn't be happier. The former Silicon Valley worker bees are unemployed and untethered, unscheduled, unflappable, and unapologetically off on the adventure of a lifetime. The San Jose couple had always planned to see the world, but when the economy tanked and DeMont's employer began cutting pay and benefits, they figured, why not now? He planned it, Duckworth, 25, is telling me by phone from Sanya, China. And he told me what he was thinking, and I said, that sounds great.
That's rather a new kind of term when you say they are the Great Recession refugees. That means that, of course, that the last year or two, when finances haven't been so good and we say the countries are in a recession, and it's kind of lasted a long time, and it was a big recession, so now we're calling it the Great Recession. Not depression, but recession, right?
That's right. You may be familiar with the term the Great Depression that happened many, many years ago. But this is being called the Great Recession because, well, a lot of businesses haven't been doing so well and people haven't been making as much money and losing jobs. And so we see here that they are a part of this and they are refugees.
They're running away from
that.
Right. So they're going to not just stay there, not have jobs, and they're very happy. So they're doing something about the situation. Now, they worked before in a place called Silicon Valley, and I think everybody knows where that is.
That's right. That's an area in Northern California where a lot of tech companies or technology companies are based.
Especially like in San Jose and
yes.
that area, south of San Francisco, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it says that they called them worker bees because people were so busy in all these high-tech companies working day and night for many, many companies that are settled down there. And they were working so hard. They were just like worker bees, go to work every day and work late. And so now, instead of being worker bees and working for some company, they are not working for anybody. They are unemployed.
That's right. We are going to learn a few words here. And the writer plays with these words because they all begin with un, the prefix. And the first one we find out about is unemployed, which means they are not working. They don't have a job.
They don't belong to some company. They're not anybody's employee, okay?
That's right. And the next one is untethered. Now, to tether something, you can imagine a rope and you are being tied down to something. So, for example, if you have a dog, you might use a leash to tether the dog to one place.
I always think of horses,
you know.
And they used to tether them up to they would ride the horses into the city and then tether them to some post while they mm-hmm. went into some restaurant or something. You see it in the movies
yes,
all the time.
That's right. They were tied to something.
Right. They couldn't leave because they were tied down.
That's right.
But now they're saying that these people are untethered, meaning they're not tied down anymore.
Okay. And unscheduled means they don't have to do anything according to anybody's schedule, right?
That's right. They are free to make their own schedule and control their time.
But unflappable, we don't use that word very much.
No, but it just means that they're not very worried about what's going on. You know, someone that's unemployed, they're often very worried about the situation. But in this case, they're not worried about it. They figure that they will find work along the way, as we learned earlier in the deck. So they're just kind of taking it easy.
And I know, like the last un that they have there, the unapologetically. It seems to me like if you're going to quit your job and go someplace, you say, well, we thought we should do it. You need to make up excuses. Your friends are going to say, you did what? And you say, well, I'm sorry, but we thought. And you apologize. But they didn't feel they had to apologize.
No, they didn't feel like they need to be sorry or feel ashamed in any way. They were actually quite happy because they were off on an adventure of a lifetime.
And they'd always wanted to see the world. And they live in San Jose, which is the heart of Silicon Valley there. And they always planned to see the world. But then it says when the economy tanked, or when it went bad, or when it turned down. There's a lot of different expressions. Why did they say the economy tanked?
Well, that's just an idea of meaning that it failed. And this is kind of slang or an informal way of saying it. And so the economy tanked, and so they decided they wanted to go and do something different because maybe at their jobs they weren't making as much money or things were changing within their workplace. So they figured that this would be a good time to make some changes.
So even though we marked this word just so you would understand it, I don't think it's a word you really want to put in your vocabulary. You don't need to talk about things being unflappable or tanked. They're just there for you to understand. There are some other good words you might want to memorize, but not these necessarily. Just know what they mean. Isn't that right?
Sure.
Okay. So when Demont's employer began cutting pay and benefits, and a lot of companies do that, we won't fire you, but you're not going to get any overtime and you're not going to have so many days off. And pretty soon, it's not going to be as much fun working here anymore. Then what did he do?
Well, they decided since the situation does not look very good for them at their workplace, they figured, why not now? Why not go see the world right now?
And so they have been planning this, and we see here that he is talking on the phone with the reporter who's writing this article, and we see Duckworth actually is talking here and saying he planned it, and they go on to say, and he...
Yes, Sharon's a girl then, right? She, yeah.
Yes,
the name
yes.
sounds really funny, like ducks or something, but Sharon Duckworth, okay. Yeah, she planned it, right?
Right, and they were talking over the phone, and then we see that they were actually in China at this time, and we see, she says here, and he told me what he was thinking, and I said, that sounds great.
So there they are, in China, of all places. That must be an adventure to go to China all of a sudden, if you've never been there before. People didn't used to even think of doing that unless their company sent them, they had some reason there. Nobody's going to pick up from California and move to China. They are on a big adventure, aren't they?
That's right. They certainly are. And Doris, earlier this year, I just came back from a trip to Beijing. And I can tell you, I've seen quite a large number of tourists there and just an expatriate community that was really large. So it seems like this is a trend. It's not just them, but a lot of people are doing this.
Right. Everybody wants to see the world now. And even though we say that there is this big recession, why people seem to be traveling, they're going on airplanes and ships and boat cruises, and there's not much money, but they're still using money. So it's not really a depression. It was just kind of a little bit of a, what you call it, economic let down in a way, a recession, right?
Right. And I think these particular people, they were in pretty good shape there where they were working in Silicon Valley, probably making pretty good
salaries,
money.
Yeah.
And so even though they were cutting back, maybe it was just less than they desired. So they decided to take this opportunity.
They still had their jobs and everything. Well, let's find out about the plan. What is the plan? Let's read the rest of today's lesson.
What's the plan? Quit their jobs, sell their stuff, head for China, then settle in South Korea for 6 months, learning the language and volunteering. Then, 3 more months traveling through Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, the Philippines, Indonesia, Laos, and maybe a few other places, or maybe not all those places, they'd see. It sounds nuts and wonderful. See, DeMont and Duckworth weren't setting out on a vacation in the midst of a recession. They were setting out on a new life. A life that might mean there is no place like home, as in, no place to call home. They're trying out the idea of location independence, the notion that you can work from anywhere or nowhere in particular, at any time of day or night. Of course, you have to find the right line of work, but people do it. There are people out here doing this at every point in their lives, says DeMont, 26, who's tapped into the location-independent community. I've read stories about almost every type of person doing what we're doing. These are people working in low-cost countries, ideally earning developed country incomes for consulting work, managing web-based projects, and offering specific services over the Internet.
Wow, quit their jobs and sell all the things so they could just move out of their apartments and then head off for China. That really is kind of a big adventure.
That is. That's something that you don't take lightly. And I imagine if I were in their position, I would have so many things going on in my head about what I need to take care of before I can just pick up and leave.
That's right. And then we see that after China, their plan is to go and settle in South Korea for 6 months and maybe learn a little bit of the language there and do some volunteering.
So that's pretty interesting because Chinese and Korean, as we know, are very different languages and it's not easy to learn them. But they wanted to go through all of these different countries that are mentioned here in Southeast Asia and maybe a few other places that are not even mentioned. And maybe not those places. They just said they would see. Let's go out to Asia and look around and see if we can pick up some jobs. Now, they were talking about high-tech jobs. If I would have done that years ago, I had been a waitress when I was in high school and university, so I'd think, well, maybe I can get a waitress job in Hong Kong or something, you know. People would do that because they always said if you know how to be a waitress, you can get a job any place in the world.
That's right.
Well, I don't know if you could if you don't know the language. But with the high-tech jobs, and everybody uses English and things on the high-tech things like that, why, maybe you could. It's quite different now.
That's right. And we're going to learn a little more about this tomorrow. But what they do is they freelance. And a lot of their work, since it is technical, it could be done online. So they don't really have to be in an office in order to do their job.
But they do have to find somebody to pay him, that's for sure.
That's right.
But it sounds like a crazy idea. So he said it sounds nuts, which means it kind of sounds crazy. But it also sounds fun, and it sounds wonderful.
It does, and I can see why they're saying this, because it does sound kind of crazy. If I were to do this, I would think people would think I was probably a little crazy. But it does sound exciting at the same time.
And yeah, I would say, well, Brennan, are you sure you want to just get a job and go over to India and all those countries? Yeah, I think I'll try to get a job. Well, I don't know. I hope it's safe. That's what I would say.
That's right. But it looks like here it wasn't exactly a spur of the moment type of thing. They did plan this out, but they had some flexibility within their plan. So they could maybe visit some countries if they had time. They would just kind of see how things went as they got to Asia.
Well, I noticed here in line 21, the second comment says they're trying out this idea. And the idea was location independence, and it's got quotes around it. Now, that's something that people might think of more nowadays than they would have 15 years ago, because people felt like I have to be in New York or Chicago or London or Shanghai or something and do a job because that's a good place to work. But now some people say, I don't want to be tied down to something. I want to have location independence. I want to teach or work or do it wherever I am. And that's a new concept with the millennialist people, those that were born after the year 2000, I think.
That's
or
right.
Just before that, right?
Yeah. In line 21, they said, this notion says that you can work from anywhere or nowhere in particular and at any time of day or night. So we're talking about the maximum amount of flexibility and freedom here.
So work when you feel like it, and if you don't feel like it, take a nap. Wouldn't everybody like to do that?
Yeah. I think,
go out to eat. Well, never mind.
I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that they're working with technology and they're able to move from place to place and still get their work done. Obviously, this wouldn't work for everyone.
It says you have to be in the right line of work. You have to be in the field of work or the line of work. You have to be doing the type. Maybe you're a fashion designer. And you might get a job in a big company in Shanghai or in Singapore because you are a fashion designer, and you might go into some place and get a job drawing something. Maybe you're an architect and you can get a job helping. So those kind of jobs you might. But regular jobs, I don't think anybody's going to hire you and just come in and say, why don't you let me do this for you at home? They're going to say, well, I might as well be home myself. Is that you do it. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say.
That's right.
How come I have to come to the office and you don't? What would you say, Brandon?
Well, I would say that, you know, it really depends on your line of work, as they say here. I think that's very important to remember for our listeners. But as we see next, people actually do this. And we learned that, you know, they've done a little bit of research and found out people of all types of people do this kind of work. They move around from place to place.
Well, Winnie, they're doing that in the States now, aren't they? I know people that used to work in Los Angeles. And they said, no, we're going up to the Pismo Beach where they have clams and clam chowder and go swimming up in California on the beach. I'm not going to live in Los Angeles. Well, how are you going to do your job? Well, I can do it on the computer. So they moved their company work up there, and they only go to Los Angeles once or twice a month. So people have been doing that in the States for the last 10, 15 years.
That's right. You see this phenomenon where people are either working at home or working from a different location, and they're not necessarily in the office. So this has been happening for a long time now, and it's even easier today than just, you know, a year ago.
Right, because there's more broadband and there's more contacts.
Wi-Fi.
In the past, it was a little bit harder when you had to do dial phone connecting up. Now they can do a lot of things even on their smartphones even.
That's right.
That's right.
So these people said, well, yeah, there are people doing this at different points of their life. And this DeMont is only 26 years old. They've tapped into the local independent community. Tapped into it just means they've become part of or they've found out about it. There's a lot of us out there. Let's get together. Let's get on our boat and go down to South America, and I'll call you when I get to down to, you know, Argentina or something. It's a different world.
It is, and we're so connected through different social networks. And it's amazing to me that they have a community, a location-independent community. There's lots of different kinds of communities out there that people can join. That just means that if there's something you're interested in, there's probably some sort of community that you can join and communicate with other people about that subject.
Yes, because there have been a lot of stories about people doing all kinds of things. And another thing here, it says, in this last paragraph on page 36, at the very top there, it says, these are people working in low-cost countries. Now, some countries like Bangladesh or other countries, they have very low salaries and all, but the living conditions aren't very good, and it's hard to get around and so forth. So I would think they might not choose countries like that. But Korea is quite highly developed, and China and Singapore and other countries now. So if you wanted to earn money in a low-cost country, and even over in Myanmar and those countries, you have to be willing to live like the people live there, and that may not be quite that much fun.
I think at the same time, they're earning developed country income. So that definitely helps them out a lot. So even if they are in maybe a low-cost country or not as developed country, they can live fairly well off because they're making more money.
But they still have to have good internet connections.
That's right. That's very important.
That's right.
But they have a good infrastructure and they have safety and so forth, don't they?
That's right. And we see here that they are earning developed country incomes for consulting work, so maybe people are willing to pay more for that, and managing web-based projects. And they're all also offering specific services over the internet. So they really do have kind of their niche market here that they're very helpful for people, and I think people are willing to pay a little more for their services.
Well, now you said you've looked at, they have a blog or something, right? Did you check it out, Winnie, and see what they're doing now?
Yes, I did. Listeners, if you are interested in their adventure, you can check out their blog at lifeaftercubes.com. And cubes is C-U-B-E-S. And that's simply referring to cubicles. And usually in an office, you would work in a cubicle. So they're saying there's life after that. And you can find out more about their story at lifeaftercubes.com.
And this is a very interesting site because they really document what they're going through. And some of the parts I was reading, I was finding out that this was really a learning experience for them. Of course, you would think it would be being in a different culture, but in some countries that they go into, it's very poor there. And it really makes them value the nice things that they've had in life, but also realize that there are people that need help and that they are experiencing that. And I think it's changing their outlook and their lives in some ways.
And I like the fact that they're not just taking, but they're also volunteering their time and their resources while they're at these countries. So that's always a good thing to do. They're learning to give back to other people as well.
Well, I think we know more about the world now because we see so many things, not only on the news, that the National Geographic and all these channels. And people are more knowledgeable. Like when I went to China many years ago, we kind of knew a little bit about it, but very little. And you kind of think, I wonder what it's going to be like there. Now we can see things all the time, how people live and talk to them. And it's not like it's so strange as it was many years ago.
Yeah, and you can learn a lot more about travelers like themselves through blogs. And I think blogs are the main avenue of communication between them. That's how they are connected to each other. So one person's blog will be linked to another blog, and they all have similar stories that they're traveling, they're at different places, but they can be connected through their blogs.
So it's not such a bad idea, really, but I wonder how many of you do it. Brandon, I can't see you actually doing this. You might say it's a good idea, but I can't see you really doing it.
I think if I were to do this, I would have to have it very well planned out and not be so risky. Otherwise, I don't think it's the smartest thing to do. Of course, you know, some people may just, oh, I'm going to go today. I'm going to quit my job and leave the country. Well, that's a dangerous idea. At least,
and you know what? You have to think about insurance and stuff. Be sure you have that because if you get sick in some country,
right?
That's right.
They might take your appendix out with your liver or something.
You have to consider all the different variables.
Right. There's a lot of things involved. If you're not sick, it's fine.
Right.
Or if you get in an accident or something, don't you think you have to think about all that too?
Yeah, and I think it helps for me personally to be purposeful or intentional about my traveling. I don't just want to go to a place for 3 months without really having a clear purpose of why or what I'm doing.
While you're there, yeah.
You
don't want to waste your life and your time. However, you know, for them it was quite an adventure, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do it, but it's still a bit unusual.
It is unusual, and I think it's good to remember it's okay to take risks sometimes, and we do need to take some risks. Just make sure that you think about it and make sure it's a risk worth taking.
Right. Sometimes we call that a calculated risk, something that you 可以算, 你要做什么, when you figure out, is it going to be worth it? Is it dangerous? And then you can do it. It's still a risk because you're going to another country. And I think that they probably have learned a lot. I'm sure they read up on those countries ahead of time and maybe contacted other people. So I don't think they just got on a plane and just decided where to get off. I think they did make a plan, don't you?
Yes, of course, they did make a plan. And I think they, in the situation that they were in, you know, they were thinking about this for a while, and then the economic downturn came, and they were ready to go. And so they spent some time really considering what they should do and where they should go, and they had reasons for why they made these decisions.
So for their closing remarks today, let's think about what we've learned today, and let's think about the purpose of a trip. Tell us in a few words what we learned today in this article on page 34, Winnie.
Well, we meet Jason DeMond and Sharon Duckworth, and because of the Great Recession, they decided to travel and work at the same time, going to many different countries in Asia. And so it's a very different lifestyle than most people would think, but they're trying it out and they're having an adventure of a lifetime while they're doing that.
And I'm going to ask a question, another question, I'm going to ask Brandon, what were they trying to get away from? But what did we call this thing? What words did we call it?
Yes, we were talking about location independence. And so they do have this new kind of community that they're involved in, and they're able to work from anywhere and at any time of day, which is very different from sitting in a cubicle in Silicon Valley.
In order to do this, you have to have what?
The right line of work or the right profession or job.
Okay, so we'll talk about it more tomorrow. See you then when we finish this article. So be sure and be here. Goodbye.
Goodbye.